Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There are lots of things that are difficult about being a parent. Lots of things which are scary. But there is one for those of us who have children that, at least for me, was one of the scariest moments in time. And that was when our children learned to drive. I will admit that I was not the most patient teacher, and that in fact our children much preferred their mother, because I would tend on occasion to lose my temper, especially when my daughter would be driving. We taught them all to drive stick shift cars, and I would have to say to her, "Megan, the clutch is still on the left. It was on the left 5 minutes ago when I told you it was there, and it still is there." But her mother was much more gentle. But we did one thing that will sound really harsh to you. When the kids finally earned their license and were off on their own, we told them this: if you get pulled over and arrested for drinking while under the influence, do not call us. I will not help you. You are on your own. It is such a dangerous and foolish choice that you have made that this is something you will have to navigate all on your own. It sounds terrible. But we never had a DUI in our family. In a way, this text, this gospel text for today, is a little bit like that warning. When we read it on its face, it just does not sound like Jesus. There were some bridesmaids who forgot their oil. And that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like there's a big feast, and some of the bridesmaids forgot to bring oil for their lamp. It's like, I forgot to bring my offering check this morning. And we would expect that there would be some kind of grace or hope or something in this story, but it's just not there. They all fall asleep waiting for the bridegroom when he is delayed. And when the bridegroom finally comes at midnight, five of the bridesmaids, the virgins, say, "We don't have any oil." And we would think, being good Christian people, that the other five would say, "Look, we have plenty. You're not that bright, but we'll go ahead and share with you." But that's not what happens. They say what? "Tough. Go out to the merchants and find your own." Right? Because, of course, the oil supply store is open at midnight. "Go find your own." And so then, of course, the bridegroom comes. And they all enter into the party, and the doors are shut. And having found the open 7-Eleven, the women come back, the five, and they are left out. If that's what the kingdom of heaven is like, I'm not sure I want much part of it. It seems so out of character and antithetical to everything else we know about Jesus. Keep in mind, this is the same Jesus who says, "Come to me, you who are heavy laden. Lay your burden on me." This is the same guy who, when the lepers are there and they shout out, "Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on us," he lays hands on them and heals them. He eats with tax collectors and prostitutes. And then shuts out the foolish ones. Well, keep in mind that this text in Matthew is written about 50 or 60, 70 years after Jesus. Jesus had just said a few verses before this look, this generation will not pass away before all these things, this coming of God again into the world to reconcile all things to God's self, this generation will not pass away before this happens. And now they're passing away. Jesus seems to have been mistaken or misunderstood. And so the Gospel of Matthew tells the community, in the face of the fact that Jesus has not come back as quickly as we thought, keep watch. Be vigilant. Watch carefully for the coming of God. Maybe we'll miss it if you don't watch carefully. And so sort of like me telling my children, I absolutely will not help you if you do this terrible thing. It's a kind of hyperbole that sets the community to be ready and to watch. This whole section of Matthew is all about keeping watch. Now imagine if Matthew's so concerned about this just 50, 60, 70 years after Jesus has passed away, imagine the kind of anxiety we must get 2,017 years later. We've been waiting a lot longer for all of these things to come to pass. And this text calls us to be ready, to be watchful, to have our lamps filled and lit and ready for the bridegroom. The question I have is, how then will we watch? How will we watch? Well, one of the ways we can watch is certainly to do what the Christian church has done for a long time. We just keep hoping things will get better. We've done a lot of that for a long time. And in fact, in many ways, we have more in common with the church of Matthew than we have with the church of just two generations ago. In the time of Matthew, the church was young and just starting, and it found itself really as part of the, not really part of the community. In fact, the vast majority of the community wanted nothing to do with them. The Romans thought that they were weird. The Jewish folks thought that they were heretics. There were even factions within that early Christianity early on about who was best and who was following the way of Jesus. They were at odds with the environment around them. Then church became society in much of the world, and especially in the U.S. It's so funny to me to think that there was a time in the 1950s that IBM Corporation actually encouraged their executives to go to church. Because what do you do at church? Oh, Frank, good to meet you. Glad you're here. Who do you work for? Hey, you know what? We can provide some services for you. Not church services. IBM services. That's what you did in church. You networked. And it was part of being an upright and moral system. The church had become so much a part of society that even businesses supported it. But not anymore. As we watch today, the church may have more in common with the church of Matthew than with the church of two generations ago. Because today, people who go to church are considered a little weird. Sorry. At best, kind of backward and nostalgic. And at worst, just foolish. Why would you waste your time? Well, we waste our time because we have been called to watch. And we can watch by circling our wagons as some of the churches in Matthew's time did. They formed small little groups and, you know, just didn't want a whole lot to do because they wanted to stay protected. We can circle our wagons and wait for the end to come. You know how that works. Fewer and fewer people show up on Sunday morning till finally it's one old lady. It's always one old lady sitting here in the front pew with the wizened pastor, and they walk out together and click the door for the last time. We can wait that way. We can wait with a kind of passive optimism, or we can fill our lamps. Fill our lamps with the one thing that God has given us in abundance: God's love. But what if the kingdom looks a little differently than Jesus' story? What if it turns out some of our lamps are not so great and so full? What if we just ignored the parable and shared our oil? That would be a shock. What if it turns out there's not a shortage of oil? I'm not talking about that kind of oil, because I think there is that. But what if it turns out that there is enough for all of us to watch together? What if the words that permeate all of Scripture turn out to be what Jesus is really about in our watching? That in sharing our love for the poor and the destitute, for those who are in trouble and sad, those who have given up on life, those who sit in lonely places, what if our watching means that we live out as the body of Christ for all of them, with all of them? What if our waiting these days is not so much a time of hoping for Jesus to come back and just wipe it all clean, but to wait actively and clearly and fully, to live deeply in the world that God has given us to be a part of and to be the body of Christ in that place? What if Christ is already coming in you? That's a picture of the kingdom. That is a picture of God's deepest and loving hope for all of God's people. I think Jesus tells this parable this way because we, like all people, need a reminder of how important watchfulness is. It's like me telling my kids, look, if you get a DUI, do not call me. You are on your own. Which, by the way, they knew I actually meant. But sometimes we need that hyperbolic reminder so that we, not 50 years after Jesus' death and his not coming back, but 2,000 years later, will remain on watch together. Not for our own sake, but for the love of Christ for the world, in our neighbor, in our friend, in our enemy, that the kingdom may unfold now. Keep watch. Amen.